Good morning and welcome to this June 2nd, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I'm your chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton, joined by Vice Chair Cheryl and President Mandelman. Today's clerk is Victor Young, and I would like to thank Seuss Enos from SFGov TV for broadcasting today's meeting and making sure that information from this meeting is made to the public. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements this morning?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will also be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comment via U.S. mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of June 10th, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you so much. Would you please call item number one?
Yes, item number one is a hearing to consider appointing one member, term ending April 27, 2027, to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force.
Thank you so much. And I know we have one seat and one applicant. And I believe Bruce Wolf is here this morning. So would you come up?
He is joining us via telephone today.
Via telephone. Got it. Do we have?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't you take a few minutes to tell us about yourself and why you want to serve?
So my name is Bruce Wolf. I have been a resident here in San Francisco over 30 years. I've been very interested in government transparency since I was at City College in the mid-90s. And I was interested in joining the Sunshine Task Force around 2005. So I've been a long-term member to fill the seat for reserved for a person with a disability. And I've enjoyed it tremendously. I feel I've brought a considerable amount of contribution to the task force. I've served as its chair for a number of years. I still am very active. I make every meeting I can. And my attendance is very good. And I have a modicum of knowledge and experience that this serving on it has given me. I mean, it's been a great education about city government. It's an important aspect of city government. And I think it's been very helpful for the general public and even for members of the city family to use. And I would appreciate your consideration for the appointment.
Thank you so much, Bruce. I don't see any comments or statements from colleagues, so we will open this item up for public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on item number one? There are no speakers on item number one.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would like to move to send item one, this appointment, forward to the full board with recommendations.
Yes, on the motion to recommend Bruce Wolf to seat 11. Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number two.
Item number two is a motion approving or rejecting the mayor's nomination for the appointment of Stuart Parmenter to the Sanitation and Streets Commission, term ending July 1st, 2028.
Thank you so much. As stated by the clerk, there is an appointment for Sanitation and Streets Commission. Is Stuart here this morning? Thank you so much. Please come up and tell us a little bit about yourself in a couple of minutes so we can learn why you want to serve.
Good morning, Supervisor Walton, Cheryl,
President Mandelman, thank you for this opportunity to come in today and speak with you. My name is Stuart Parmenter, and I'm honored to be considered for this commission. I care deeply about this city I've lived in for nearly 20 years now, and I'd be proud to bring my experience, curiosity, and commitment to public service to this role. Professionally, I've spent about 26 years in the technology field, leading software teams and building many different companies. Most recently, I spent 8 years at One Medical, where I was the chief technology officer and led through growth, through the pandemic, through a lot of scale and a lot of challenges, really trying to focus on making the world a better place, helping people through healthcare, which, as we all know, is a challenge for all. And I've spent my career really trying to bring teams together, thinking about how we can navigate trade-offs and how we build systems that actually work at scale. About a year ago, I left that role to take some time to rest, relax, recharge, and think about what I want to do next. And I'm still a little bit in that process, but one of the things I've spent a lot of time thinking about is how can we make San Francisco an even better place to live. My wife and I live close to 16th and Mission, and while we've seen some improvements in recent times, there's obviously still some work to be done. We're also expecting our first child later this year, and so as I think about where do I want to be and what environment do I want to bring a child into, I'd love to be in a place where I feel safe and confident walking through the streets in our neighborhood, but across the whole city. And you know, rather than just complaining about it, I'd like to actually be part of fixing it. And so I'm very new to city government, but I'm a very naturally curious person. I pick up new ideas and learn things very quickly. And I've spent really my career stepping into unknowns and solving them and leading to success. You know, ultimately, I think I'm really good at asking the right questions, going to the people doing the work to learn from them, to understand what is working, what isn't. And ultimately, my background as a technologist, I think going into the data and really looking at what is there, what are we seeing, and what can we do about it. And so I'd be excited to learn and collaborate with all of you and everyone else to make this city a better place. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I do have a question just in terms of, as a resident, what do you see as the major issues around the department?
I think there's a number of challenges of that are, I think, intertwined throughout the city. And again, I'm still trying to learn and figure it all out. But I think I've seen an uptick in just street cleaning, which I think has gone a long way. But obviously, with budgets and whatnot, we can't rely necessarily being always reactive. I think trying to figure out how we can be more proactive in a number of areas. I would like to spend time, you know, learning from the Department of Public Health, Public Works, everyone on, you know, the compounding challenges that I think lead to our streets not being as sanitary or clean as they could be. I don't think it's a one, you know, there's not one magic solution. I'm not a technologist who believes that technology is magically going to just solve all of these problems. I think we've got to, like, really dive into how all of these pieces are interconnected and think about, you know, how do we pull the right levers at the right time to work together as a team to actually combat these issues.
Thank you. I don't see any more questions, so we will go to public comment on this item.
Thank you.
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Please approach the podium, and you can line up by the windows if you'd like to speak.
Hello.
Yes, you may begin.
Okay. I'm Kyle Munkittrick. I've worked with Stuart at One Medical for all of those 8 years. And when Stuart joined One Medical, he was new to the healthcare industry, where I was fairly familiar with it. And I wanted to talk about 3 things that I think Stuart will bring to this role. One is trusting the people who do the work. The second is diligence and understanding the data. And third is persistence. So in terms of trusting the people who did the work, Stuart knew quite a bit about technology coming into the healthcare industry, but not a lot about healthcare. And one of the things I saw firsthand is Stuart didn't know me that well. He didn't really have any particular reason to trust me. But he spent a lot of time with people like myself and other teammates who had worked in operations, directly caring for patients, or in the field to really understand how our company worked. And then he brought that to bear in healthcare. Very quickly, Stuart went from not knowing a lot about how healthcare worked to one of the first people any member of any team would go to, often for nuanced details to try and understand something complex. This didn't just happen at the beginning, but throughout his career. So when One Medical pivoted to a new business process, he often was one of the first people to understand how exactly it would work across the business. So as a technologist, he's done an incredible job coming in and understanding not just where technology can help, but how all of the elements of something work together, not just the business, but also policy. The second was diligence. Stuart was famous around the company for looking into the data to understand if somebody was making, let's say, an off-the-cuff remark versus figuring out what actually might be driving something. And Stuart had mentioned his ability to make ask the right questions that often allowed him to find the right pieces of data to look into rather than just statistics that helped his case. And the last piece is persistence. One Medical is a complex organization. Healthcare is complex. Stuart spent a lot of time just talking, listening, spending time in meetings, helping build consensus to try and get things done. So that's why I think he's a great choice for this nomination. Great, thank you.
Hey y'all, how you doing? Mark DeVito, I know a few of you, nice to see you. I am a 20-year resident of the Mission, almost 20-year business owner on Mission Street, board of the Mission Merchants Association, and have gotten to know Stuart in the last 15 years through time spent together in the Mission, walking the streets, looking at the conditions, and just discussing solutions. I think he's a very smart, talented, and compassionate individual. I've been very impressed with conversations we've had, ranging from sanitation to dodgeball to art to anything. He's very well-rounded, and I think we'll listen to everyone in the community and the whole city community to make this a cleaner, safer place. That's what I got. Full support.
Are there any other speakers on this matter? No additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would like to make a motion to remove rejecting, replacing with approving, and sending this to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on the motion to amend to recommend. And on that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl. Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 3.
Item number 3 is motion approving rejecting the mayor's nomination for the appointment of Ken McNeely to the Port Commission term ending May 1st, 2029. There is a request that this matter be sent out as a committee report.
Thank you. Why don't you take some time to tell us about yourself and why you want to serve?
Sure, absolutely. Good morning, Supervisor Walton. Good morning, Supervisor Cheryl, my current supervisor, and President Mandelman, my soon-to-be supervisor. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I come before you this morning as the mayor's most recent appointee to the San Francisco Port Commission. It is both an honor and a privilege to have received this appointment and to be before you today. I've had the privilege of working with many of you in the past, but let me summarize some of my relevant experience. I've lived in San Francisco now for 25 years, married my husband here, and adopted 2 children here, one now in college and one a student at the San Francisco Unified School District. The city of San Francisco has provided both personal and professional success for me. My professional life has been driven by a desire to uplift communities. During my 25 years here in San Francisco, I've served in various capacities with ever greater degrees of responsibility at the AT&T Corporation. Initially as Vice President of Law and Government Affairs, then as President of AT&T California, then as President of AT&T Pacific Region, and finally as President of AT&T West, responsible for 109,000 employees over 23 states. I retired from this position last October after 33 years with AT&T. During my tenure, I had the opportunity to work with federal, state, and local officials, including many in this building, to build out infrastructure in the city from a 4G to 5G wireless networks, to introduce cable video competition in the city, and then to deploy state-of-the-art fiber by investing more than $3 billion of capital. But what I'm most proud of are the public-private partnerships I was able to forge with local nonprofits to help lift up all residents of the city through our connected learning centers, computer giveaways, our college track mentoring and support, and our small business foundries, where we provided over $100 million in grants to uplift communities within the city. My nonprofit experience has also been broad and deep. I have supported the arts community within San Francisco over the years by serving on the boards of the San Francisco Symphony, the San Francisco Ballet, and currently the executive committee of the SF MoMA. On all of these boards, my focus has been singular: how to make the arts more accessible to the largest number of San Franciscans. This has been my guiding light. More recently, I've joined another nonprofit healthcare, as chairman of the board of Sutter Health. I've encouraged a focus on San Francisco, which has included the creation of a health innovation lab in the city, as well as a planned neuroscience and mental health facility at Mission Bernal, where we will be cutting a ribbon later this week with some of your colleagues and the mayor. After 33 years in the private sector, I am now looking to give back to the city, which has given me so much. I hope to use my skills in the public policy arena and experience in building and managing infrastructure in the city in my service now on the San Francisco Port Commission, if you confirm my appointment. I've had the opportunity to discuss the needs of the port with its senior team and with former Commissioner Brandon, whom I've known for over a decade. As my professional work is always centered around equity, I intend to continue her focus on equity, particularly as it relates to the southern waterfront. I know that there are pressing issues addressing the port: flood risk mitigation, development, and repopulation. I look forward to working with the mayor's office, the Board of Supervisors, my fellow commissioners, and port staff to find creative solutions that the 7.5 miles of waterfront continues to be held in public trust for the benefit of all San Franciscans. It would be an honor to have your vote and to serve and contribute to the San Francisco Port Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see anyone on the roster. Supervisor Mandelman.
I want to thank my future constituent, Mr. McNeely, for your willingness to step up again for San Francisco. I'm supportive. I think I'm looking forward to seeing you on this commission.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor, got you. Thank you so much. With that, we will go to public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. I would like to make a motion to remove rejecting and replace it with approving and send this to the full board as a committee report.
Yes, on the motion to amend, to approve, and recommend as a committee report. Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 4.
Item number 4 is a motion approving and rejecting the mayor's nomination of Chris Foley for reappointment to the Historic Preservation Commission, term ending December 31st, 2028.
Thank you so much. Is Commissioner Foley available? I do see. And you have a few minutes to tell us about why you want to serve.
Thank you, Supervisor Mandelman, Supervisor Sherrill, and Board President Mandelman. I've been on the commission for 6 years, and it's been my pleasure to be on that commission. And I think what I've really enjoyed is seeing preservation in action. And I renovated St. Joseph's Church at 10th and Howard back in 2015. And I really saw what it takes to bring a building back to life and to make it special. And I think what I bring to the commission and what I'm going to continue to bring to the commission is common sense. And that is, we need to have preservation, we need to preserve historic objects and historic things. We also have to figure out a way to allow the city and the people that are operating here to get through the process in an easier way.
Thank you, Commissioner Foley. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. Thank you, Commissioner Foley. I intend to support your reappointment to this body, but I do want to have a little conversation with you and Commissioner Matsuda while you're here about how we're doing as a city on historic preservation, because we are, you know, several years now into a process of making it easier to build in San Francisco, and we're going to be relaxing development constraints. And I don't think this is our last, you know, probably upzoning coming up this, you know, this year. So there's, if this works the way it's supposed to work, we're going to see a lot more building. And with that, we're going to see some more demolition. And in general, I think that's good. We need more housing in San Francisco. Chair Walton will point out that his district produces housing. He'll look at me slightly askance in that regard, perhaps. My district needs to produce housing, it's true. But I think for all of our districts and for the city as a whole, it is important that as we move forward, if this all works, if we start seeing the thousands or tens of thousands of units getting produced, that we have done what we need to do to make sure that our history and important elements of the culture of this city survive through all of that development. And of course, there's, you know, plenty of history of development in San Francisco and other cities of that not being the case. So I am anxious, concerned that we are, notwithstanding the good work you all do on that commission, not where we need to be. And this is also notwithstanding former President Peskin's work when he was on the board and some of the things I teamed up with him on to try and get resources to the Planning Commission around, or to the Planning Department around identifying historic resources and then trying to move forward some landmarking of buildings and collections of buildings that have historic merit and will be important and that we don't want to see demolished. I just don't think we're anywhere close. And there's been a kerfuffle about you know, some folks outside the building trying to push for this to happen in North Beach. And whatever you may think about that effort, partly that's because this, you know, the folks in this building and the folks in city government are not moving forward nearly quickly enough to identify historic resources and protect them going forward. So, you know, you're right there. You're on the commission that is tasked with doing this work. You can't do it alone. You know, you're given what staff brings to you. But can you talk a little bit about, from your perspective, what we may need to do as a city to move this along at a more rapid clip?
Thank you, Super. Thank you, Board President Mandelman. So we at the Historic Preservation Commission directly actually sent a letter to SHPO at the state level to ask them to move the process forward faster on these historic resources. I think for the city individually, I think with the budget cuts, it's going to be more difficult for the planning department and specifically the historic part of planning to ramp up. But I think they've done to date a good job, and we're moving through major parts of the city every month and every quarter, and we're identifying a lot of buildings. I think the key issue is identifying that resource and having the commission recognize that resource and make sure we keep that resource. And let me give you a specific example. In the marina, we had the Julia Morgan building, which is a lovely building. And that organization is losing $5 million a year. So they wanted to build another building next to it so they can actually break even or just lose a little bit of money. And I think what we're able to do is figure out a way to keep the Julia Morgan building and build a building next door. Not everybody was exactly happy to that, but I think we actually did a good job at the end of the day for the most part. And I think that's what we have to do. We actually constantly have to listen to all the constituents, recognize what's important, and figure out how to keep that important building there.
But for you all to be able to do that work and to be weighing in on projects like that, we need to have carved some of the properties out from our, you know, non-discretionary, no-review, fast-track, streamlined approval universe that we are in the process of creating. And if we don't do that, you won't be able to do that work of carefully crafting good compromises to allow projects to move forward that nonetheless respect the historic elements that, you know, are there and need to be preserved. And I don't share your sense, frankly, no disrespect intended, but I don't share your confidence that we've been doing this well or quickly. I think we've been doing this slowly. And I don't think that our budget, given what we're doing on the housing streamlining side and the upzoning side, I don't think that our current budgetary predicament can be an excuse for not moving forward quickly, you know, in to get this work done within the next few years?
I think so. It's very interesting. We're just getting the Sunset District done, and what happens is you have to survey all those buildings. And you literally have to go out there and take pictures and identify them, and then you have to identify what is special and what is historic. And I think there's two things. One, there's the budget, the dollars, but it's the manpower. It's the human power on the ground to go get that done. And I think there is a constraint there. And I think that's really where the rubber hits the road. I think it's the manpower to actually be out there doing the work on the census of the buildings and the districts.
I agree. Yeah. And I think we and the mayor's office would be derelict in our duties if in the process of the most significant upzoning and process reforms in, you know, certainly a generation, probably longer, we didn't provide the person power to get this work done quickly. So
if the human power gets that work to the commission, we're going to get it right done.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. We will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers who wish to comment on this matter? There are no speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. I'd like to make a motion to remove rejecting, replace with approving, and send this to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on the motion to amend, to approve, and recommend. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5.
Item number 5 is a motion approving or rejecting the mayor's nomination of Diane Matsuda for the reappointment to the Historic Preservation Commission term ending December 31st, 2028.
Thank you so much. Commissioner, you have a few minutes to explain to us why you want to serve.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Supervisors. My name is Diane Matsuda, and I'm here to respectfully request your support of my reappointment to the Historic Preservation Commission. It's taken a while, but I think we've been working hard to make specific steps that embrace and appreciate and acknowledge the neighborhoods, the communities, and the residents of each district in the city through, number one, our historic context statements. We have been able to identify a number of properties that are of historic and culturally important to various neighborhoods and to our city as a whole. I think through our strong support of the Legacy Business Registry that allows individuals in all neighborhoods to learn about the very important historic small businesses that have existed and we hope will continue to exist. And through our priority in recognizing properties, not only for their artistic and their architectural beauty, but also for the people and the events that happen within them. And I've been very fortunate to work with a great team of commissioners. Commissioner Folia is one of them who is requesting reappointment with me, and we hope that we receive your support. And getting back to President Mendelman's question about how we can move up the process, I think for a long time, the city survey did not receive, I think, the necessary amount of funding to really get started. We do have that now. It would be great to have more. And why is the city survey important? Because, as Commissioner Foley shared, it goes around and it examines every single piece of property within the whole county of city and county of San Francisco, and we will be able to quickly acknowledge what is a historic resource and what is not. So yes, we believe housing is important. Yes, we believe that we need more housing, but this is a way in which we can carefully decide where housing goes and to make sure that we preserve and sustain our historic properties. So I'm happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Thank you, Commissioner. President Mendelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton, and thank you, Commissioner Matsuda, for your work. Do we, at this point, have a date by which that survey is supposed to be done? Because we've been watching it for many, many years.
I don't believe we're looking at the very near future. I think it's at least going to be 2 more years. It is a matter of people power going out there and being able to document and really and being fair to each and every part of our city to make sure that the same resources and the same methodology is used to do the valuation.
Yeah. And just from my perspective, and I feel like the end point of that survey has been a couple few years in the future for many, many years now. And I feel like it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago that then Supervisor Peskin and I were trying to get some add back money and other things into the budget for that work. So this isn't on you. This is on the administration and on the planning department, but we need to get that survey done. And then that survey, as far as I understand, provides no additional protection for buildings that have lost, you know, for which we have taken away discretionary approvals. So if it's, you know, a streamlined building that has been identified as having, you know, historic value, like I don't see how that building gets saved unless we've done something more than just category A, category B. I think we actually need to have identified which of those buildings we're moving forward with landmarking, right?
Right. And of course, we're making, we made racial and social equity a priority in all of our decision making, but particularly in the landmark designation process, because for a long time we weren't recognizing buildings in various communities. We were, to be very honest, only recognizing the pretty ones, and we weren't looking deeper inside to see why those buildings were special, and they are very special for particular communities and for the city and county of San Francisco as a whole. So I think that has helped. I also think through our historic statements, what we have done one for the African American historic context statement. We have done one now for the Chinese. We are doing one for the American Indians. So I think within those historic statements, we are also able to identify things even at a faster rate than the city survey. So I think just with the combination of all those different factors, hopefully we can continue to do what we want to do in terms of preserving our culture and history, and ask you for your support.
All right. Thank you. I think we need to do both. I think we need to save the pretty ones and the ones that have cultural significance, but we're not doing either right now in the way that I think we should. But I am grateful for your work, and I am going to support your reappointment.
Thank you.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Just a follow-up question. Is there a timeline that is going to be proposed, like a plan that says we'll have some definitive date when surveying will be completed? I know you're saying maybe a couple years, but like, are we working towards putting together a plan with a timeline? Is that,
yes, I hate to speak on behalf of the planning department, but we were told that I think our last informational hearing by the planning department staff that it would be a couple years. They are going to various neighborhoods. They continue to move from one to the other, but we will definitely be able to give you more specific information. I guess we have a meeting on...
I think we'll be able to follow up with planning.
On Wednesday, so we can definitely re-ask that question.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions or comments, we will go to public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to remove, reject, and replace with approving, and send this to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on the motion to amend, to approve, and recommend, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Mandelman. Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, would you please call item number 6?
Item number 6 is ordinance amending the administrative code to create the Valencia Street Entertainment Zone on Valencia Street between 16th and 21st Street, the Pier 39 Entertainment Zone, and or around Pier 39, including the northern waterfront of the Embarcadero between the Embarcadero on the south, Kearney Street on the east, Powell Street on the west, and San Francisco Shoreline on the north, the Folsom Street Entertainment Zone on the Folsom Street between 7th Street and 8th Street, Hallam Street between Folsom Street and Brush Place, and Langdon Street between Folsom Street and Decker Alley, and the Ellis Street Entertainment Zone on Ellis Street between Stockton Street and Powell Street, and the Yerba Buena Lane downtown activation location on Yerba Buena Lane between Market and Mission Street, and on the northern side of Mission Street only, excluding the public street portion of Mission Street between Yerba Buena Lane and 3rd Street, including Jesse Square, and affirming the Planning Department's determination under CEQA.
Thank you so much, Mr. Clerk, and we are joined by Supervisor Mahmoud on this item. Is his microphone working?
It's on.
Thank you so much. Supervisor Mahmoud, I know you had some comments.
Thank you, Chair Walton, for accepting me to attend today. And we'll be requesting an amendment on a duplicated file to have an entertainment zone in Hayes Valley as well alongside the Bayview Entertainment Zone on this duplicated file. I'd like to thank Ben Van Houten and Kelly Varlan at OEWD, as well as Victoria Wong from the City Attorney's Office for their work on this item and their contributions to this effective and fast-growing initiative. If you've been to Hayes Valley, you'll know that it's a perfect fit for an entertainment zone. It's a bustling urban neighborhood featuring a weekly street closure, the Hayes Promenade, that has the makings to become one of the city's great town squares. The Hayes Valley community has built strength and cohesion over the years through a shared interest in supporting local businesses and using creative ideas to transform uninspired public spaces into productive centers for fun and building neighborhood connections. I do realize the irony of me advocating for an entertainment zone as I do not drink, but that does not mean I don't recognize the economic and social importance of this designation. Alcoholic beverages are just one part of an entertainment zone, but they are so much more. They build community, uplift neighborhood events, and support small businesses, allowing patrons to break down artificial barriers to fully engage with great events happening just outside their door, because ultimately it is about joy. This zone will mean that events like the Hayes Valley Carnival can flourish, and future events can draw more business for only the bars and restaurants in the neighborhood, but for the upcoming brick-and-mortar businesses that will benefit from the added foot traffic as well. It means that enjoying events at Hayes Promenade won't have to make the difficult decision between a charred jalapeno margarita at Pepito Hayes or taking a front-row seat to live music and sunny vibes in the 400 block of Hayes. The zone itself extends beyond Hayes Street, benefiting events like the Hayes Valley Merchant Council's Wine Walk, which won't require a street closure to take advantage of the entertainment zone. We've worked with the Neighborhood Association, the Merchants Council, Andrew Signer, in behalf of the community, who manages the Hayes Promenade and leads the management plan in coordination with SFPD and OEWD on events. This is a really great initiative that has come to us from the community, and a rare occurrence where the small business community, the Merchants Council, the Neighborhood Association, and the community are all working in unison to bring change and vibrancy continued in Hayes Valley. We've heard from so many bars, restaurants, and small businesses that would benefit from this designation as well, so we respectfully ask for your support on this amendment to this file. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Mahmoud. And just on that note, we obviously are adding the Yosemite Avenue Entertainment Zone, as well as between Mendel and 3rd Street and Lane Street between 3rd Street and Armstrong as part of the amendment, so that District 5 and District 10 will be included. This is really an opportunity for, in our case, in Bayview, for businesses that have been around for decades to have an opportunity to bring foot traffic, to be able to do special events and do it in a manner that is inclusive of not only the businesses in the area, but the communities in the area. So I will be, of course, making a motion to amend the duplicated file, which will include these two entertainment zones. And with that, I don't see any comments or statements from colleagues, so we will go to public comment on item number 6.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Hello. I do not believe homeless residents are welcome to these entertainment zones, given your policies against these people. Just a historical reminder, when the Nazis took over in 1933, they passed a law against habitual and dangerous criminals, which allowed beggars, the homeless, alcoholics, and the unemployed to be sent to concentration camps. The new law allowed courts to order the indefinite imprisonment of habitual criminals if they deemed the person dangerous to society. Not too long later, Jewish people were not allowed national health insurance. Big, beautiful bill, anyone? This is a 2016 article on how to cover homelessness in San Francisco, and I believe the board should also follow these rules. Avoid stereotyping homeless people. Shed light on those who are invisible. Homeless families and youth are invisible to government agencies. Mothers often do not report their status out of fear that their children will be taken away. Explain why a racial disparity exists. 36%, this is from 2016. 36% of those who are homeless are black, while they make up only 7% of the overall population, according to the San Francisco Homeless Count reports in 2015. Learn some history of U.S. welfare programs. Historical context is what reporters habitually skim over in a rush to identify the newest problem, but homelessness as we know it today is a relatively new phenomenon. Keep in mind the city's criminalization policy. San Francisco has a history of laws criminalizing homelessness, from the 1981 ban on sleeping in the parks to the sit-lie law enacted in 2010. Panelists say the city's big stick policies have failed to address the problem. Recognize stable housing is crucial to mental health. Mental illness can be both a cause and a result of homelessness. Recognize stable housing is crucial to primary care. Homelessness is devastating to health, says UCSF. Chronic diseases are difficult to care for when people are homeless. Focus on solutions, not just problems. Solution-based reporting sets benchmarks for what is and is not possible to hold people accountable for solving the problem to the best of their capabilities. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Andrew Signer. I'm here to speak in support of the amendment to add Hayes Valley to the entertainment zone item. I'm on the board of the Hayes Valley Neighborhood Association. I helped draft the management plan in partnership with the Merchants Council, OEWD, the Supervisor's Office, SFPD. I think it's kind of echoing what the supervisor said. I do think it's a pretty ideal neighborhood for it. Just in the last, like, 3 or 4 days. Friday, we had free tango classes in the street. Saturday, we had a live jazz band, a music video shoot, and a bunch of yard games. It's really a place where anybody from the neighborhood can come and just enjoy a space for free. I think having the entertainment zone just helps uplift that. It's not just about this one block of Hayes either. We also have neighborhood-wide events like sprawling wine walks that will allow us to kind of, we'll create like maps that allow residents to walk across the neighborhood and find all of the different merchants around. So I think it kind of complements two versions of an event. I've recently been in touch and gotten in writing support from 14 different merchants that are on board with this. I'm just gonna list them really fast. I'm sure you've hopefully heard from them, but Anina, Brass Tack, Shame Amon, Papito, Haze Dog, Fig and Thistle, Hazies, The Gambit, Amano, The Bird, Afterwork Bar, Absinthe, Arbor, and Arlequin. I wish I could get more, but I have a day job. Finally, the carnival is next month. That's an annual event that often brings like thousands of people to the neighborhood. This would be an awesome addition. So I really appreciate all of y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are there any additional speakers to speak on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Seeing no additional speakers, public comment is now closed. And Mr. Clerk, I'd like to make a motion to include the amendments for item number 6.
On the motion to amend, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Dorsey. Oh, sorry. Spreadsheet is off. Member Manelman.
Aye.
Manelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries without objection. And due to amendments, I would like to move that we continue this item to our next Rules Committee meeting on Monday, June 9th.
On the motion to continue the matter to June 9th, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Manelman.
Aye.
Manelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, do we have any other business before us today?
That completes the agenda for today.
Thank you. We are adjourned.